Hello, and welcome to In the Limelight, Vanity Fair's entertainment and pop culture podcast. I'm Josh Duboff, Vanity Fair senior writer, and I'm here with Julie Miller, Vanity Fair senior Hollywood writer.
On In the Limelight, we analyze the ins and outs of pop culture, entertainment, and celebrity from the past week, from the Kardashians to Kate Middleton and everything in between.
Julie recently told me that someone repeated for her that line she just said verbatim at drinks or something.
Kiara's sister.
Oh my God, right. It was Kiara's, our friend's sister. But the idea of someone repeating that just verbatim at a bar
was horrifying.
Oh no, I think it's the most delightful thing I could imagine. I think we should get a wind up doll or a t-shirt that says that on it. All right. On this week's episode, we will discuss Beyonce and Jay-Z's new twins. We're going to get into the whole backstory here because there's actually some mystery involved with the Beyonce Jay-Z twins, and we will break it down for you. Also, Matthew Knowles, Beyonce's father, is involved. It's like sort of complicated, so we'll discuss our theories.
But it wouldn't be a true Beyonce milestone without some share of conspiracy and speculation. We also get into how Prince George stole the show at a royal engagement.
Yeah, so let's talk about Beyonce. So the news broke Saturday night because I was out with some friends. We were celebrating our coworker Louisa's birthday.
Oh, shout out to Louisa.
My brother was there with some of his friends, and I saw on my phone that she had the twins, but it's a little unusual. Okay, so I know you have some theories about this too, because we haven't seen anything from Beyonce yet at the time of this recording, which we should note is Monday afternoon. So things may have changed in the next 48 hours by the time you're listening to this. But at this moment, Beyonce has not posted anything at all. So, and that makes us both a little suspect because she's so carefully controlled, right, Julie? Or you're right now feeling a little bit unsure.
Well, I'm back in LA. I flew back.
Yeah, where were you in the world when Beyonce's twins were? Well,
I was in Pittsburgh and I was with my sister, and I think we had both fallen asleep because we were so tired. We went to sleep at like 10:30 p.m. So I wasn't awake, but I feel like the earth would have shifted. I'm now back in Los Angeles. The air still smells the same.
Beyonce is not going to forgive you for being asleep for when the news broke.
I know. The sky is still the same color. It just doesn't make sense. But a lot of the Beehive, they're kind of like assembling some conspiracy theories. And Josh, we started this a few weeks back because we noticed, for instance, that Beyonce was so heavily, heavily pregnant, but Jay-Z was like out for the NBA Finals. So we thought there was a chance that maybe she had given birth, all was fine, and that's why he was taking a private jet all around the country.
According to TMZ, she gave birth actually the Monday before, correct? So like earlier in the week, and TMZ saying it's a boy and a girl, because I had seen this all over the place that they were held in the hospital because of a minor issue, which was very kind of scary seeming the way they were kept saying minor issue. They made me nervous of what's going on. But as you note here in our script, but also I think is important to point out that People, CNN, and most other places right now aren't confirming that report. My favorite, though, aspect of the kind of report coming out is that Matthew Knowles, who is sort of estranged from Beyonce, they're not in touch, right?
No, it's Beyonce's father who for a while, wasn't he like the manager of Destiny's Child?
Yeah, and they've since had this falling out and they're, you know, it's an estranged relationship. But
now he's like teaching classes at some college in Texas about how to raise a superstar.
Yeah, he's really trying to bank on this, you know. I mean, he's Beyonce's father, so, you know, we can't fully knock him for trying to use it in some way, I guess. He posted this strange birth announcement on his Instagram, which was confusing for so many reasons. He also doesn't have that many followers, so I was even trying to figure out if it was a fake account at first, but it is his real account.
It's like a terribly photoshopped background with like balloons that would, I don't know, when you first got a computer and like...
It looks like when Facebook auto-generates those videos when you've been Facebook friends with someone for a year and it's, you know, our like really bad clip art that kind of looks almost intentionally hokey and low budget. That's how this looks. And it says, happy birthday to the twins, love granddad, with his Instagram handle printed on the card, which is beyond tacky.
But I love that he's like fully estranged. And to me, this is as if like Josh went on Instagram, but not even Josh, because Josh is too close, and like announced some major life event of mine that I hadn't told my friends yet. Like, hey, Julie, like,
wait, can I announce whenever, if you ever are pregnant, can I announce it on Instagram with this exact replica?
You have to do the exact replica. Okay. Yes.
I'm taking that as a pledge. So you heard it here first. If you want to know when Julie's ever pregnant, this is getting weird, follow me on Instagram. Okay, so this says they're here, and then he has all these hashtags to maximize the reach of this post, which is another level of tackiness. Beyonce, Jay-Z, twins, birthday, happy birthday. Imagine hashtagging this birthday. It's like, this is very bleak to me.
This is so sad. I didn't see that he put his Twitter handle on it.
Yeah, and so... And this only got, so see, this is still strange to me, Julie. This only has 5,000 likes, but according, what we think one of them's Tina, right?
The Bayhive was very against Matthew Knowles announcing this.
Yes, but
once
right.
they saw that Tina liked it on Instagram, they thought that that was like a confirmation. They took that as confirmation.
I feel like we're doing one of those, you know, Carrie on Homeland where she puts up the board with the strings over the most... least essential thing, but this like Instagram that Matthew Knowles photoshopped, but I feel like what my preamble is to say that Tina liked this Instagram, I guess, is confirmation that Beyonce had the kids, right? I don't think Tina would like it if this wasn't a true statement that the kids had arrived.
Right.
Or if we really want to get deep into conspiracy land here, the twins have not arrived yet. Beyonce, you know, or someone saw that Matthew Knowles did this, they're upset, but to kind of deflect the commotion, Tina liked the post, so to just kind of quiet people down.
I am picturing Josh, like, in a police station speaking to, like, a full room of cops, and he's, like, at a chalkboard with, like, just writing out all of his different hypotheses.
Hair strung out in the trench coat and, like, gym shorts.
Yeah. Hasn't slept for days.
Yeah. What did you find on Solange's Instagram?
So I was combing Solange and Tina's Instagrams this morning for clues, because... they have to have acknowledged the birth in some way. But
right.
So Solange, I don't think she's even home in LA. She posted one post a week ago, exactly today, from Italy, where she was performing. And then her posts since have been from home. And there's nothing you can really take from them. Like, one is a grainy shot of her at a laptop that you see through a mirror. Another is just, like, a side table full of crystals. And yes, there is one crystal that's pink and one that's blue, but there's also one that's yellow, so I don't even know what that means. And then Tina, it's just, she is giving me life through this whole thing, because she's in New York.
What's she up to?
I'll tell you what she's up to, because she takes the most amazing videos. One video is her in the back seat of a New York taxi cab yelling about how the taxi driver doesn't know the best routes to her destination.
How is Tina not taking an Uber or a hired car? I don't get that.
At the very least. But in a different post, she explains, in New York for my friend's son's wedding, heart, heart, God lets things happen in his time, not ours. Don't try to rush him. So was she already in New York when Beyonce gave birth? Is that what she's alluding to?
The only thing that's confusing to me there is if she's in New York now, isn't, because Beyonce's in LA.
Right.
So wouldn't she skip her friend's wedding to be with Beyonce and the new twins?
Right. Wouldn't she rush home? Like, is her friend's son's wedding that important? There's also another...
Unless that's also to throw us off the scent.
There's also another amazing Tina caption, which I just want to bring up because it's so good.
Yeah.
This is my beautiful friend, Debbie. And it's a video of Debbie, like, waving at the camera, laughing. In parentheses, Tina goes on to say, I got my caftan on. But then she goes back to Debbie. Doesn't she look gorgeous? We are listening to jazz! Exclamation point. I love this woman. I feel like every caption she writes is like after four mimosas.
That would be, it's so true, the sentence structure and the way they were punctuated. I want to write those kind of posts for my friends, though. I feel like that's such a good, that would be a good lesson for everyone, to have to post a few clearly demarcated Instagram posts about other people.
Right.
Not to make this into a community service mission project. I was also just really thrown because when you were talking about Solange's Instagrams, I was looking them up, and then the Crystal's one, the most recent comment says, "I'm out here looking for any clue about Beyonce, and I think this is it. Those blue and pink things are it." I feel very seen that other people are doing the exact same thing we're doing.
Right, right. Well, okay, I have a bunch of discussion questions here. Josh, how have you been handling the stress and anticipation? It feels like we're in some crazy holding cell. Like, we think the babies are here, but we have no details.
Yeah, well, so we had talked about Beyonce being so meticulous. Obviously, the way the pregnancy was announced in that Instagram, which, you know, we all remember without even having to look it up. But I think everything's confusing. Tina not being there, the way Matthew posted his Instagram, the TMZ report, which is kind of questionable and then hasn't been confirmed. I don't really believe anything until Beyonce states it. I'm going to assume they're not born yet, even until Beyonce says something. I'm trying not to even look. You know, obviously we're looking, but I don't want to even get too excited, you know?
It was also interesting because I think last week Jay-Z was inducted. He was the first rapper to be inducted to the Songwriters Hall of Fame, which was like a major moment in history. But I guess he was not there. So I guess that would.
Oh, and Obama made that amazing video to honor him. I don't know. Something's a little off. What do we think about the names? Do we have any feeling whatsoever? Is Blue Ivy involved?
I think Blue Ivy was definitely consulted heavily. I think she's going to get final approval of the names. I feel like Beyonce, you always really want to include the older siblings, and especially because she's five now. I feel like she has some, I mean, if you've seen her outfits, you know she has like very good taste. So
it's kind of just occurred to me that she's going to have three children who could then form a Destiny's Child style group eventually.
Oh.
is that a normal notion? Oh, also, by the way, the President Obama's video for Jay-Z when he got inducted to the Songwriter Hall of Fame, he said something in the video that implied he was going to be having two daughters.
Right. He said, paraphrasing here, "We're both so proud of our daughters, but with the twins, Jay-Z will have me outnumbered."
Yes. So it's unclear, but I believe President Obama more than TMZ or Matthew Knowles, to put it lightly. So I almost am inclined to say the twins have not been born yet, and it's two girls, like Obama implied.
I wonder if Obama went to visit them like he did George Jamal.
That's his post-presidency life. He just visits the celebrity twins, you know, stop by stop. That's my prediction. Girls that haven't been born yet, what's your prediction?
I hope Jay-Z gets a son.
So you think it's a son and a daughter, and you think they have been born?
Yes, I think it's a son, a boy, and a girl. They have been born. But what are we going to do to celebrate when the news actually comes in?
We're both going to post a Matthew Knowles-style Instagram on our accounts with really bad Photoshop, congratulating Beyonce and making sure to put our Instagram handles in.
And just another note, I was very concerned about the minor issue. So I asked our good friend Kelly, who hopefully will be on here next week once we have a few more details.
Oh, great.
But she said there are a lot of minor issues that could happen with twins. It could be anything, you know, like jaundice but she was also very impressed, if the timing is right here, that Beyonce gave birth this past Monday, that she carried the twins like to full term.
Is it a full, do we know it's a full term?
Well, I get, you know, everything is just hypotheticals.
I know. I hate doing this because obviously, you know, we both love Beyonce, and I don't mean to be so overly skeptical, but I don't know, man. Just a lot of strange aspects of this. Is that the first time I've called you man on this podcast, by the way?
Yes. Well, whatever the truth is, I feel pretty confident that like Gwyneth Paltrow knows it.
Oh.
She's holding it.
But whenever the Blue Ivy was born, Gwyneth was somehow involved. Because you remember there was a day or two of uncertainty when Blue Ivy was born, where some people thought it was Ivy Blue and some people thought it was Blue Ivy?
No.
Yeah, we're doing some deep cut pop culture history here. Get your notebooks out, everyone. But there was someone erroneously posted, it might not have been Gwyneth. I think Gwyneth was the one who clarified it was Blue Ivy, but someone else wrote something on social media saying, you know, welcome to Ivy Blue. So people thought that was the name for a hot second, and blog posts went up saying that their first child's name was Ivy Blue. And then I think Gwyneth helped correct that it was Blue Ivy.
Right. I feel like Gwyneth knows the truth, and I feel like Beyonce has already filed like trademark copyright applications for whatever those names are.
And we should also note that Jay-Z has an album coming out on June 26th, I think, called 444 or 4:44, which Kelly and I had hypothesized maybe was going to be somehow related to the birth of the twins, or that the album was going to come out the same day that the twins were revealed. Doesn't really seem like that's how it's going to be playing out, but it is kind of interesting timing that he has an album coming out so close to, you know, the arrival of these twins. And Blue Ivy was featured on an album that Jay-Z put out right after she was born, so it's possible we'll hear the twins' vocals on this album, I would bet.
Right. I just hope that Jay-Z responds to Beyonce's Lemonade claims. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're going to see what 444 sounds like. They're so synergistic and smart and on top of this stuff that I just feel like somehow it's all going to tie together. And we're going to all think this was all... The fact that we even were so confused by all of this, we're going to feel so silly. This podcast will be totally negated. Anyways, let us know your Beyonce theories and if we sound kind of like completely insane people. Let's talk about Prince George, another famous celebrity offspring, Blue Ivy Carter's dear friend. They text and snap all the time.
Also another birthday-related story.
Oh, is it?
Somehow.
Oh, yes, right, because the Queen's birthday is what was celebrated. I love Julie's intro here. It says, if you have no idea what the true meaning of the color is, you are not alone. Prince George also looked very confused to be there. So on Saturday, there's this parade, and it takes place every year. What's very confusing about it is that it's not actually the same right next to the Queen's birthday. It's like a few months after, but it's when they officially celebrate it. So it's this kind of parade for that. And she was turning 29.
Oh my gosh. Queen Elizabeth, she loved that little error.
She doesn't look a day older than 29. What kind of slip? I am in a mental state or what? Okay, Queen Elizabeth is turning 91, not 29. Please refrain from posting angrily on our app.
Although it's easy to see how that mistake could have been made, yes.
The entire royal family. Okay, so this is what's interesting about Trooping the Color is it's one of the few occasions where you bring Charlotte and George out for Kate and William do. Not all of us, but the parents do. And they all stand on this balcony, so the photos are kind of very intense because you're seeing them kind of head on this kind of balcony. And it's the most, I feel, of most of the photo ops where it feels like they're real royals, right, Julie?
Right, because of that balcony setting. And I feel like, Josh, for your next birthday, a really good, if we were to have a step and repeat, I would set up, or like a photo booth.
A green screen, like the background would be that.
Right, a green screen where you were on that Buckingham Palace, like balcony with the Queen and George. Mm-hmm. I'm going to somehow, if someone has the resources or technical, or...
Yeah, if anyone out there wants to create that visual for us, I'd like one of Kate's fascinators on my head, please.
Yes.
And Julie next to me doing the Prince William style break dancing at that club when he left Kate. William and Kate did not miss this event, but the big takeaway for most people were two things, actually. One was Kate's pink dress, which was kind of unusual cotton candy, I want to say, hued gown.
I would say it was like a baby girl pink. It was a very bright bubble gum.
You didn't like my cotton candy description?
Well, I always think of cotton candy as like the multiple colors.
It kind of looks like Pepto-Bismol colored. Now that I'm looking at it again.
I'm sure that's what the designer ordered. Can I get that Pepto-Bismol swatch? Well, Josh, you've been really doing a good job at like rating and reviewing Kate's dresses of late. So I wanted to know what your takeaway was on this one.
Okay. It's not my favorite. My biggest concern is actually, oh God, how do we phrase this? It looks, I'm going to need your help here, Julie, wrinkly around the top. It doesn't look like it's been ironed correctly almost. I think that's part of the design, but I just don't like that kind of design.
Right. It's one of those looks where it's the fabric is kind of purposefully cinched. And there we go.
Fashion pleated. Fashion students are breathing a sigh of relief. So the pleated look, as Julie puts it, is not working for me. The color, you know, I'm not going to comment. I think, or I am actually going to comment. I think it's a lot. It's a lot. I appreciate that she's taking a bold stance, which is why I don't want to come down too hard on it, because I kind of like that she's doing something a little funkier. It's not super safe, you know? It stands out. It's definitely what your eye goes to first, put in that mildly. but I don't know if I, you know, if you gave me 40 options of colors that Kate Middleton should wear, you know, she obviously always is going to look great and resplendent. I think this would be not even in the top 40.
Is there any color that would have been worse for you? I feel like Day Glow construction worker orange might have been the only one.
Like a mustardy hue maybe wouldn't have looked great. No, I actually think she could have pulled that off. It doesn't look, you know, and the more I'm looking at it, it's okay. I think I just wish it was maybe muted 20% so that it was still this kind of bold pink, but just slightly less neon. What do you make of it, though, now that I've torn it to shreds, basically?
Well, I guess in her defense, to play devil's advocate, she has to look kind of matronly and conservative.
Wow. You know you're not in a good place when the devil's advocate starts with that you look matronly. Okay, continue.
She has to be very conservatively dressed.
Yes, right.
For the Queen's 91st birthday. So I imagine there are only so many different ways you can veer where your body is still like entirely covered.
Also, now I'm noticing the Queen also has a cotton candy hue going on in this photo.
See, together, I'll give them. It was like they coordinated. They look like that.
Bubblegum flavors or something.
When you go to Baskin Robbins, the scariest bucket is always that cotton candy one, and they have that going on very much.
Oh, gosh. Well, as much as I could honestly talk to you about Kate's outfit for the rest of this whole episode, but I
did love that Kate was coordinated with Charlotte. Charlotte had a very cute, like, pink and white dress on, and they were color coordinated.
So George received lots of attention for his kind of over it expression.
He had a lot of over it expressions, which I liked, and I'm going to kind of invoke something my sister said this past weekend.
I'm excited. What did Grace say?
She watches a lot of Tyra Banks, America's Next Top Model, and she was explaining to my mom why Gigi Hadid is like a really good model versus why Bella Hadid kind of isn't.
What was her theory?
To use Tyra's vocab, Gigi has a lot of range. Like facial range. I would say that George has the same.
So the idea is that Bella has one expression, whereas Gigi can show you a range.
Right. And like George, we're seeing all kinds of like confusion and dismay here.
George has a lot of personality. I think it's great. And I appreciate that kids can show, you know, some of these things that the royals have to do. I always think to myself, you know, Kate and William, they're in their early 30s, they're young, they probably think at a certain level some of this is ridiculous and kind of funny, but they can't, you know, crack a smile, they can't smirk at each other, they really have to play it completely by the book, cool. And I kind of love that, you know, Prince George is about to turn four, that he is able to roll his eyes, laugh, show, you can't control it. To me, it almost brings out how kind of amusing the whole scenario is in a way that I find very enjoyable.
Right. There are a bunch of photos with him. He's like flushed. Julie's done really with
that.
Hot.
I took that to American Studies 101 and Julie is not having it. Okay, let's continue.
Well, he just looks so over it. So I just appreciate his honesty. But I'm also so curious, like, do you think he has etiquette lessons where he just has to prepare to be watched? Like, what did Kate and William tell the kids? Like, okay, we're going to go out on this balcony and
good point. Do you think Kate, and if you were Kate, what do you think your stance would be here? Would you chastise him? Would you, you know, kids will be kids. It's kind of, you know, do what you want to do. Do you think she in any way is upset, or do you think she kind of thinks it's hysterical?
I think she kind of thinks it's hysterical.
Yeah.
To a degree. Like, he didn't start crying, so I guess that's a win.
But we remember at Pippa's wedding that she really let him have it, which was intense when he had reportedly stepped on Pippa's dress or otherwise caused a commotion, and Kate did not seem pleased. But that's different. That's her sister's wedding. So I feel like she cared a lot more about that than this random thing for the queen.
Right, I agree.
Random thing for the queen. I'm going to get stoned by British, you know, guards for that.
I think that's what the English call it. Yes.
that random queen thing, you know. Okay, great. Other question by Julie here, which is good, is where was Harry?
Was he right behind Kate and I just wasn't paying attention?
Let's do a quick search before we launch into this.
I think he was right behind her. It's just all the photos I saw were so closely cropped.
He was right behind her. Wow. Oh, my goodness, Julie. So I just searched to see if Harry was there. He was right behind her. To Harry's left is a woman who Getty Images is telling me is named Autumn Phillips. And she is wearing a fascinator that is nearly identical to Kate's. That does not seem like you should be allowed to be on that balcony. And that is bold and criminal. Wait, are you looking her up? Autumn Phillips. If you guys are at home right now, I don't know anything about her, but we will soon let you know who she is. we're having some sort of fever dream right now, and I'm imagining.
2017. Okay, I'm looking. She is really bringing this whole cotton candy hue thing full circle.
Yeah, so she's wearing a green turquoise style dress, but
teal is
what most would call it. And it's the fascinator is very close to Kate's in color. No,
it is. It's like a magenta. Also has a flower on top,
and she's standing right next to her. That is so wild to me.
It's also startling to see how many people are actually on the balcony when all the photos we've been
we're zoomed in on Kate. Yeah, there's a ton of people on that balcony. I feel like you're going to find, you know, random cast members from Jersey Shore up there. It's like kind of an anyone goes feel when you zoom out. But you know who is not included? Our girl, Meghan Markle. She did not get an invite. She can't attend this kind of event yet, I guess, until they're officially engaged, which could happen any minute, I suppose. But would she have rocked a cotton candy hue? No.
No, I feel like she would have done like white, something tasteful. But what's the play, though, when you're Meghan? Does she say like, oh, how did it go? And pretend like she wasn't obsessively Google searching every image? Or does she say like, oh, I saw like a photo, looked like it was great?
Wouldn't it be kind of amazing if whenever, I don't know when Meghan will be up on that balcony with them for this, but if they're all wearing these kind of, you know, grandmotherly cotton candy hued dresses and she's just wearing a super chic, you know, like low-cut pantsuit with big sunglasses, like hair slicked back, while the rest of them all look like they're from this kind of Mary Poppins play or whatever.
Right. For some reason, I always picture her wearing like an outfit from Suits. So she would be wearing like a sensible button down.
Just like it's so hard to imagine her integrating into this bizarre world of rules and customs. I think she plays it cool is my guess. I feel as though she follows, you know, the Kensington Royal Instagram. She sees the pictures as soon as they go up, but she pretends and plays as though she has no idea. Right? I feel like you have to play that cool.
Right. Right, you do. I wonder if you're attending this balcony thing, like if you get a little notice the day before saying what the queen is going to wear, like what color and what color Kate's going to wear, so you can't clash, or if they just have like a
The way we get a tip sheet if we're covering an event or something that tells us who's going to be there, they should send that out for these royal events. Or otherwise, you run into the problem Autumn Phillips, my new favorite royal, did, which is that you show up wearing a basically copycat fascinator to Kate Middleton to the most photographed event of the year.
Do you want to know what my theory was? That they had a whole rack of clothing back here. And Autumn showed up in a magenta dress. And they were like, hell no, girlfriend. And swatched it out. Like, swatched it out. They didn't have a backup fascinator. Maybe that's why her fascinator doesn't match.
That's such a good point, Julie. Because Kate's is obviously expertly matching. Beatrice and Eugenie look like they have a matching thing going on. Autumn's are clashing like nothing you've ever seen. That fascinator color does not go at all with her teal dress. So,
also, who is Autumn Phillips? Now she's everything, because I feel like this is
like what you or me would be like if we were a royal. We'd show up in a mismatched fascinator that, of course, happens to be the same color as Kate's.
She looks delighted to be there.
Yeah, she's having a ball. She's Instagramming, probably. She's doing exactly what we would be doing.
Right. Here, wait. I have to find out who she is. We have to answer this.
We're basically signing up to be... I feel like she joins the ranks of In the Limelight Hall of Famers like Nina Agdal. Or who else is up there? Megan, obviously.
Megan, I can't find it. So wow. She's just all of us.
Yeah, she's a stand-in for an audience surrogate. And then a great final note here by Julie, which is, no disrespect for the queen, but shouldn't Beyoncé's twins get this kind of parade? What? And you know what's also funny? We see all these photos of them watching the parade. I have no idea what the parade's even like. Is it floats of the queen? Is it reenactments of, you know, Kate Middleton's, you know, best looks? What happens at this parade?
Oh my gosh. Is it someone like lip syncing like the Macy's Christmas Day parade to some bad Justin Bieber thing? I don't know. I feel like it's probably kind of boring and involves a lot of horses.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm very curious. If you've seen this, we need some of our on the ground reporters, like who sent us information last week about Meghan and Pippa, to let us know if you're near this happening in London, what it's like. What did you catch a glimpse of Kate's cotton candy dress? Have you ever had a drink at a pub with Autumn Phillips? We want to know it all. Well, I think that does it for this week's episode.
I think so.
what else do you have going on, Julie?
Nothing. I miss you.
Yeah.
What do you have going on this week?
Also nothing. This has to stay. This cannot be cut from the episode. If there's anything that's been if this should be a teaser to put in the video on Instagram, this will be it for this week. All right.
we're just mentally preparing for those babies. We're rolling cigars.
Yes.
We're putting together those like cheap plastic champagne flutes.
Yes.
We're ready for the celebration as soon as we have the names.
And let us know. I'm sure everyone's always very good at keeping us updated. But if, you know, any Beyoncé news out there, we like to know what's happening. All right.
I know. Matthew Knowles, reach out to us for another breaking news alert. I don't know. Okay.
So that does it for this week's episode of In the Limelight. Thank you so much for listening. Please remember to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us to find new listeners.
Also, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at In the Limelight to further discuss any of these subjects. You can also follow us individually. I'm at Julie W. Miller.
And I'm at Jay Duboff. Definitely keep your eyes peeled on our Instagram accounts, because we will also present up to the minute photoshops of Beyoncé's twins. Current states. We also have an Instagram for the podcast, which is In the Limelight Pod. This episode was produced by Jordan Bell and edited by Afim Shapiro. Thanks to Andy Bowers at Panoply. Thanks so much for joining you. Everything is just evolving.
We need to go back to bed.
This is what happens when you sleep for 3 hours. You call the queen 29 years old. And you can keep this in, Afim. We will talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
That was a wild tour de force.